On Thursday morning, Chattanooga Mayor Tim Kelly stopped by our studios here at WUTC for our latest one-on-one conversation. Chattanooga Mayor Tim Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ray. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. Let's talk about the World Cup.
Yes, indeed. All the rage at the moment.
La Roja, the Spanish national team, arrived here in Chattanooga earlier this month to prepare at their base camp at the Baylor School to compete in this year's World Cup. Along the way, they've greeted the fans, yeah, including you.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a chance to meet them at the airport when they landed and go to the first kind of kick around practice they've had. And I understand they've been out and about, you know, in the environments in Chattanooga. There have been some really interesting sightings here and there. So, you know, they tied their first game kind of shockingly, but they've got two more to go in the group stage. So I hope Chattanoogans will get out to the many watch parties that are going on and support.
As a founder of CFC, yeah, before you became mayor, talk about the experience as a fan of this sport.
Well, again, it really truly is the world's game and the world's sport. And so, you know, to see the World Cup, you know, in the U.S. and to see Spain and Chattanooga is just amazing. And everybody kind of coming together. It's certainly the most accessible game in the world as well. And it brings people together. And this is a time when, you know, we need that more than ever. So it's really great to see.
There's also been world coverage of this. You have done a number of interviews. I'm sure you've got more, yeah, to come with media around the country and around the world.
Yeah, I think I may be the only mayor in the U.S. currently who, you know, who was involved with the founding of a soccer team. In fact, I'm pretty sure I am. And so I do have a pretty unique perspective on it. And it's been fun. It's been a great way to showcase Chattanooga on the international stage.
Talk more about what this does mean for Chattanooga's visibility, as well as future collaborations and events in sports right here in this area.
Well, we know, you know, from the data from Meltwater and the tools we use to look at, you know, mentions of Chattanooga around the world, that the mention, you know, it's way, way up. I mean, there's a lot more awareness in Spain and in the world generally of Chattanooga. And some of that, you know, has come with some kind of cognitive dissonance for people who might not have known what Chattanooga is and thought it was kind of hilarious that Spain was here. But those of us here certainly know better. And hopefully this will, you know, break yet another barrier in kind of dispelling the idea that Chattanooga is just some mud puddle in Tennessee, you know.
Let's talk about the budget.
Yep.
The city council has until June 30th to pass the city budget for the next fiscal year.
Yep.
Highlights of the proposed budget you submitted to the council: a 3% pay increase for first responders and employees, renewing your commitment to invest $10 million a year to fill potholes and improve city roads, and advances for your One Chattanooga plan, as well as priorities at the council district level through what you call targeted investments, mm-hmm, funded by continued internal savings and efficiencies.
Yeah, we still use the One Chattanooga plan as our blueprint, right? As we've said for many years, if you know, want to see somebody's priorities, look at their budget. And so this is very much tied to the plan. And I will say, you know, inflation, this is it continues to be a difficult environment. The macroeconomic challenges are very, very real. So we can't just wave away inflation. But we have dealt with it this year because the affordability issues for Chattanoogans and Americans generally are very, very real. So we worked hard to deliver a flat budget. And we were only able to do that by really tightening our belt in a number of areas, including the mayor's office itself, where, you know, we cut the budget $136,000. So that's how we were able to do that and still give, you know, raises to keep up with, inflation, but not pass along any increase to taxpayers.
You're threading a needle here between inflation, balancing the budget, and no tax increase, mm-hmm, especially after last year.
No, yeah, last year was tough, but notably, last year's increase, I think it was 24% roughly, it only kept up with municipal inflation, the cost of the stuff that we buy. So it that's all. But still, people, you know, felt it and still do feel it. So we didn't want to have to do that again. I mean, that was really for the much needed and long overdue raises for police and fire, largely. So we're there. We are now finally at pay parity and where we need to be with our civil servants and our, you know, our retention and our, you know, the police and fire academies are full again. So we're there. And but we still have to deal with inflation. I mean, again, $10 million for paving is is almost triple what it was during the prior administration. But but inflation cuts into that, really. I mean, that needs to be 12 or 15 to really catch up. But you know, we're doing what we can. I thought it was important this year to hold the line and not pass along any cost to taxpayers.
Speaking of Chattanooga police, the Chattanooga Police Department has released its annual report for 2025. One highlight, crime reduction, 48% decrease in homicides compared to 2024, 26% decrease in non-fatal shooting victims since 2024, 9% decrease in crimes against persons, 16% decrease in crimes against property.
Yeah, I know. It's remarkable. I mean, crime, to be fair, is down broadly across the country, but from the highest during the pandemic, but it's down here quite a bit more. I mean, the 40%, 48, the homicides cut in half compared to 2024 is a huge win. And, again, across the board, Chief Chambers and the men and women of the Chattanooga Police Department are doing a fantastic job. And I think probably the stat that jumps out to me, which is not a blip, it's persistently high, is that the clearance rate for homicides is 93%.
And when we say clearance, we mean what?
Well, we mean that we have charge somebody and solve the crime. It's up to the DA to convict them. But again, we have essentially solved the crime and arrested the person we believe, has done it. To give you an idea, the national average is about 50. So, I mean, that's, you talk about big, broad national averages on major, statistics. That's a freakishly high closure rate. So we're really, really proud of that. And again, most theories of criminal justice will tell you that the way to prevent crime is to catch people doing it. So it bodes well for a further decrease in the homicide rate.
Another highlight: progress on overdoses, a 17% decrease in overall overdoses, a 19% reduction in fatal overdoses.
Yeah. I mean, again, we are coming off the highs during the pandemic, and a lot of what our community health is doing, and frankly, the county is doing as well has really had a great benefit. So we're on the right track.
On the right track. What's one tough challenge at this point? How is CPD trying to tackle it?
Look, homelessness continues to be an issue, and there's been a lot written about the concept of disorder. It's tough when people feel unsafe, but there are no actual crimes taking place. So that, we continue to work with CPD on how to deal with that. I mean, we are very much dedicated to constitutional policing. We're not going to, round people up who aren't committing crimes, but at the same time, people do need to feel safe downtown. So that's an ongoing conversation. I would say also, we're looking at, we're starting to, get a lot more complaints about e-bikes and how fast they're going and zooming around. And we really don't have any regulations in place for that at the moment, but we are taking a look around to see how we should treat that, because we definitely want people, on bikes and e-bikes, and as you well know, as a rider yourself.
Yes, I do.
But at the same time, we have to be safe. So.
And I am very cautious, not only because I'm on an e-bike, but because I came to Chattanooga after living in New York City for 20 years.
Yes, you've dodged a lot of delivery guys, I would imagine.
That's right.
As we all do on visits to New York, but we're lucky that it kind of hasn't been worse so far, but we're going to be thoughtful about it. But I do think that's something we're going to have to get our arms around and do some more enforcement and regulation on in the coming year.
Let's talk about how much things cost.
Yep.
Cycling back to that, no pun intended.
Yeah.
This spring, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed a new law that modernizes outdated municipal purchasing rules by giving cities across the state more control over the rising cost of building bridges, tunnels, and other major capital projects. Yeah. You and State Senator Todd Gardenhire worked together to push for this law. Talk more about what it will do.
Well, I mean, that's what we refer to as design build. And if anybody that's ever built anything in the modern era would know that, if you're building a new, some grand new building, you would typically go out and, hire an architect and design it very thoughtfully and carefully, and then go select a builder and design it, and you do go through an RFP process for both. But that takes quite a long time. So, and things like bridges that can be designed and built in one blanket process, it just saves a tremendous amount of time and a tremendous amount of money. But we were not allowed to do it prior to us working with Senator Gardenhire, full credit to him, with changing that law. The state could do it, which is how we wound up in the situation with the Wilcox Bridge. We had to kind of pass it to them to do because we knew it would be faster. It still didn't happen in a timely manner, unfortunately, but that had to do with the backlog of work and working with the railroad. But this will allow us to do a certain types of projects much more quickly and much more cheaply and save taxpayers a lot of money.
How might this help marquee projects that are on the horizon, such as what's going to happen with riverfront parks?
Well, you know, until the federal government can get inflation under control, unfortunately, that one is not under our control. You know, these projects keep coming in, you know, you quote a price and then, you know, tick-tock, right? As time passes, the price just continues to go up and up and up and up, and it gets us really over a barrel, because then you got to go back and appropriate more money. So the faster we can do something, you know, the more likely it is that we don't have to go back to the well and look for more money. So it will have a definite beneficial impact on getting these projects done. And done, you know, again, quicker is cheaper, I guess, is the point.
Let's talk about Finley Stadium. Next year marks 30 years of Finley Stadium here in Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. The city, the Stadium Corporation, Hamilton County, and the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee Foundation, which is separate from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee, all recently announced the development of the Blue Cross Healthy Place at Pavilion Park. Mm-hmm. This is part of the ongoing revitalization of Finley Stadium. It will add all kinds of amenities to the First Horizon Pavilion area.
Yeah, it kind of is a connecting strategy between the pavilion and the skate park there. And again, the area itself is getting an infusion of capital. But, you know, we've been working very hard on getting the skate park redone. And that will be done, I guess, later this year, maybe early next year. But this is a great addition to that. There'll be a place to do some bouldering and an open-air roof structure over the skating rink.
Which they call an airnasium.
Yeah, that's right. I noticed that. I don't know who came up with that one. I hope they copyrighted it. But it is going to be a great initiative, and we're grateful to Blue Cross for that.
And this is just another example of the next chapter for the city, these locations, a place to live, work, and play.
Yeah, of course, right? And we're trying to add those amenities downtown, because we need, you know, we still need more downtown residential density to really make sure downtown is healthy. We can't count on, you know, businesses, you know, people coming in the office 5 days a week like we could years ago. So the only way to really make sure we have a healthy downtown is to have people living down there. So we're very much focused on, but people don't want to live down there unless there are amenities, and including, you know, good retail and commercial. So it all, you know, it all goes into the mix when people are deciding where they want to live.
Let's talk about early childhood.
Yep.
The city of Chattanooga has been selected to join a national initiative to improve early childhood learning. Mm-hmm. The Pathways for Early Childhood Leadership Initiative is a new peer learning cohort led by the National League of Cities. The 15-month technical assistance program, quote, empowers city staff to function as change agents within a broader collaborative ecosystem that supports young children and their families. Mm-hmm. Talk more about this and how this will unfold here in Chattanooga.
Well, you know, early childhood is still one of our seven goals of the Chattanooga plan. You know, I mean, what we hoped at the time back in 2020 and 2021 when we were formulating that plan was that we would get to, you know, universal early childhood as part of the Biden administration's efforts, but it turns out to be extremely expensive and extremely complicated. So, you know, Caritza Mosley-Jones and her team has continued to work really hard on expanding where we can, both quality and quantity, Head Start seats, and the quality of instruction. Because again, it goes back to the fundamental truth that, look, you could argue, as I've said, I think on the show before, that we should be focusing all of our time and money on high quality, accessible early childhood, and then spending the rest of the leftover money, you know, elsewhere in the educational pipeline. Because by the time a kid is 6 years old, the bread's baked, right? So this is really, really important, particularly for at-risk kids and kids from low-income families that are struggling. So this is really this is great to be part of this cohort, because it's, you know, best practice sharing is itself a best practice, right? And we learn by you know, mimicking from our peers. And there's some other great cities, including Memphis and Nashville, are in this cohort. So we look forward to that. And I think part of the goal is to integrate these strategies with other strategies that we're working on, such as Community Forward and the 423 Chainbreakers and Basic Chattanooga and Seats for Success. So I'm sure some great stuff will come out of it.
Let's talk about Amplify Chat.
Yeah.
The city's Office of Arts, Culture, and Creative Economy recently launched Amplify Chat, funded by the Tennessee Arts Commission. This initiative aims to, quote, enrich the urban environment and foster community connections through spontaneous cultural experiences and enhanced visibility for local performers. At the heart of this project are these four newly designated performance zones with temporary murals designed by artists from Chattanooga, Georgia, and Mississippi.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, I mean, look, one of the other special things about Chattanooga, which your listeners certainly know, is the, you know, our arts culture is very strong here, and we're really trying to support that in art in out in neighborhoods. And we just had Southside Porch Fest recently, which I'm sure people really enjoyed. The feedback was great for that. So this is part of that same strategy, and there are. When redoing the sign ordinance here, in part was really there to make murals easier to do. We want to see more public art. We want to make it easier to do. So you've got murals that'll be going to sidewalk murals down on Fraser Avenue, down by the library, one in St. Elmo, and one in Renaissance Park near Cardboard Hill. So and you'll also see musical performances happening there as well throughout the summer. So you can expect to see more of that. We lost a couple of big festivals here, and the festival business is difficult. But this is, I think, a better strategy to really focus on local art and local artists in the neighborhoods. That is as important as anything else we could be doing.
It's really from the ground up.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than hoping Live Nation graces us with their presence.
And it's also a partnership between the city and the county. I had on the show this week our latest episode of the Parkside Podcast, which is a collaboration between Scenic Roots and City of Chattanooga's Parks and Outdoors and Hamilton County Parks and Recreation. Yep. And our guests were Carmen and Monica. And we were talking about arts and culture and parks and public spaces.
Yeah. And Monica and Carmen are really leading that effort within the city and doing a great job.
Let's talk about Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. We are speaking on the day before Juneteenth, the holiday that commemorates the emancipation of African Americans from slavery after the Civil War. Here in Chattanooga, community groups are joining their events together under one banner, United We Stand, Chattanooga's Juneteenth Celebration. One of the events, the annual Juneteenth Parade on Friday in downtown Chattanooga. You'll be marching in that once again.
I sure will. Yeah. I mean, good. Juneteenth's been a city holiday since before it was a federal holiday, since 2020. And so it's become a great tradition in Chattanooga. And I look forward to marching down ML King. We're going in reverse this year from Miller Plaza the other direction. And I look very much forward to it. I hope the weather holds.
What have you been thinking about as we've approached this Juneteenth?
Well, look, I mean, obviously the narrative in the current political environment at the federal level and just to an extent at the state level has been challenging. I mean, I don't think equity is a dirty word, and it's been tough to stomach a lot of the mischaracterization of what this is. But I do think it's also notable that when the federal government recognizes this as a holiday, everybody should stop and recognize it as a holiday and as it should be. I mean, again, white Chattanoogans should consider the fact that July 4th was not Independence Day for enslaved people, right? And until Juneteenth came along in some respects, I mean, again, I don't know any American that doesn't honor July 4th and enjoy that holiday, but this is, it's a significant moment. I mean, this is the moment at which African Americans gain their freedom, and it is absolutely worthy of commemoration and observance.
Let's talk more about the Black community here in Chattanooga. One of the objectives of your One Chattanooga plan is, quote, catalyze economic vitality in the Black community.
Yes.
How is the Chattanooga Small Business Resource Center, which opened a few months ago, making an impact on that?
Well, that was, it's a big strategy. It took us a while to get that opened. But we look, you know, we're trying to create wealth in the community, and particularly that strategy about rebuilding the black middle class has to do with access to opportunity and upskilling. And that's really what this resource center does. Again, one of the things that's kind of implicit in it that we don't talk much about is, you know, the city buys, I mean, our budget, again, is about $400 million a year. And we're really focused on changing purchasing so that we can purchase more locally and internally, and create and break bids down into smaller chunks so that entrepreneurs, local entrepreneurs, can fill those opportunities, right? So the center there provides just a basic front door for entrepreneurs, for anybody, you know, regardless of creed or color or anything else. But the fact that it's downtown hopefully will be more accessible to our African-American community. But look, it's there to help any entrepreneur figure out how to grow their business. And so, we've had training there, resources. You can walk in and just kind of say, I need help with XYZ, you know, marketing or accounting or learning to use QuickBooks, and they will steer you in the right direction. Again, we'll also hold supplier fairs there, so to make sure that people understand all the stuff that we buy and how small business and entrepreneurs can plug in and become a city supplier.
Along with the opportunities, there are also challenges for that community. A recent front page piece in the Chattanooga Times Free Press mm-hmm. examined the pressures on historic black neighborhoods in this city. Pressures we've seen elsewhere across the country when it comes to growth,
yeah.
gentrification, and so on. How is what the city is doing now, trying to do now,
yeah.
trying to address that?
Well, look, I mean, again, it's a free market, and I read that story with great interest, and again, it did reference the fact that we're working very hard to make sure that people who want to stay in those neighborhoods can stay in the neighborhoods with things like down payment assistance, and again, EPBs and TVA and the city partner on a program to upfit. You know, what do they call that program? Energy Right, so that, you know, they'll replace your HVAC system, your windows, and so on, which both increases the value of the home and makes it more efficient. So we've got a whole bunch of strategies to help people that want to stay in the neighborhoods. Frankly, most cities, you know, have already seen levels of what I'm not a fan of the word gentrification because I'm not sure exactly what it means, but we are in better shape than most places. If people want to cash in and sell and move to another part of the county, they can, right? And that's what we're seeing. The central city has lost some black population, but the county hasn't lost the black population overall. So I think, you know, when people, you know, cash in and move to a more affordable area, put some money in their pocket, that's okay. I mean, we shouldn't make people feel bad about doing that. On the other hand, if people want to stay there, we are going to bend over backwards to make sure that they can and make sure they're not forced out.
Let's talk about America 250. We are closing in yep. on Chattanooga's celebration of America 250, Chattanooga and Hamilton County's celebration on Saturday, July 4th. For the city, the America 250 celebration series includes Monday, June 28th, Democracy Speaks, Music and Poetry in Renaissance Park.
Yep.
Thursday, July 2nd, Pops on the River in Coolidge Park. Friday, July 3rd, Hamilton in the Round, a screening and interactive sing-along of the hit musical Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And Saturday, July 4th, the United 250 Mayor's Finale Celebration at Chattanooga Riverfront. Mayors meaning you and Hamilton County Mayor Weston Wamp.
Yep.
Riverfront Nights starting at 2 p.m. on that day. Drone show at 10 p.m. Oh, and don't forget fireworks.
Yeah, it's going to be a big weekend, and appropriately so. So looking very much forward to it. And so I will be there. And again, hopefully the weather will cooperate and won't be too miserably hot. But it'll be a big, fun weekend in Chattanooga. Looking very forward to it.
How have you been reflecting on America 250 with all these preparations and as we get ever closer to that day?
Well, again, I think it's really important now more than ever to go back and look at the ideals set forth, you know, in the Constitution and what the Founding Fathers intended for us, which is again, the pursuit of happiness, basically. And so liberty is a really important idea, but it means that it's a really great time to think about how important the Constitution is protecting all of our rights and all of our liberties. And frankly, you know, the fact that we don't, you know, we got rid of a king to, and replaced it with the Constitution to protect the rights of every American to do as they please, as long as they're basically not hurting others, right? So this is a really good time to meditate on that.
And for people who want to reach out to the city, people who want to keep up on all things at the city, where can they go online?
Chattanooga.gov, or, you know, our newsletter, which gets great reviews at mayor.chattanooga.gov.
All right. Mayor Tim Kelly, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray.
Catch all our conversations on scenic routes at our website, wutc.org, on the WUTC app, and wherever you get your podcasts.